Blog Talk Radio.
Well,
hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Where's the music? Well, hello, everyone. This is Kay Thomas at Kay Thompson Live. I think whether we are waiting for our music at this particular point, you probably know by now that it is raining outside. You're going to be hearing the thunder. I mean, it's loud, too, and lightning. But we're going to be doing this show from outside of the studio, from at home. Eric Payne is going to be calling in. Wayne Gilman is going to be calling in. And Capri.
I'm already here, Kay.
Oh, okay, Wayne. Fantastic. Okay.
Yeah,
how'd
you
get
doing?
In there with all this rain going on?
I tell you, I mean, that's why I'm not in the studio. I'm at home. I'm up in New Rochelle, and it is pouring down.
I know.
As you said, unbelievably. I mean,
flash flooding?
They anticipate a hurricane this weekend.
Why did you have to say that?
Well, it's true.
Right.
You know, it could be very romantic, Kay. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, me and the hurricane, right? Sure, yeah, okay. But
well,
listen, Wayne, you know, listen,
well,
I'm sorry that I didn't get him because I have a short, short haircut. My hair is about maybe an inch and a half long. I cut it all. And I was sort of looking forward. I said I was looking forward to, you know, the video and all that kind of stuff because I was going to ask people, how do you like my hair? You know, really short, you know, out of the way, not sticking up, you know, from wearing that darn microphone. No, the earphones. But anyway, glad you're there. Goodness. Yeah. So, but listen, I'm going to be talking about, let's see, I have to say thanks to Jennifer Wiggins in Montclair, New Jersey, with her Together Hair Studio. She's at 43 Glenwood in Montclair. She is absolutely fantastic. But I have a haircut that you're not going to believe. It'll have grown about short a little bit, you know, when I get back there on Wednesday. But it is raining, it is lightning, it is thundering, and it's flash flooding. And I understand the flooding is really occurring out here where I am. I'm looking at it a little bit, and it's a mess. It really is. It's kind of scary, as a matter of fact. I don't like thunder, and I don't like lightning.
Yeah,
anyway,
I can imagine.
Yeah, you too?
Yeah,
you're a man.
I'm
you're not supposed
way.
To be afraid of anything.
I try to avoid it. I try to avoid it as much as possible. And
well,
I'm
anyway,
not far from the water, so, I mean,
yeah.
I just hope we don't have a repeat of Hurricane Sandy this weekend, or what have you.
How about that? You
mm-hmm.
know, with flooding, especially down the Jersey Shore, you know.
Yeah.
We're not too far away from it, but, you know, it has quite an impact, you know, down in the Jersey Shore area. And a lot of those people still are waiting for their homes to be built.
I know. It's
and
sad.
And this lays
real
right
sad.
At the feet. This lays right at the feet at Governor Chris Christie. I'm telling you.
Yep.
The money should be there. You know, there were billions of dollars that were earmarked for a tunnel that was supposed to be another tunnel that was supposed to be running from New York to New Jersey. You know about that.
Exactly.
And wonder what happened to the billions of those dollars. But I guess.
Well, he put a kibosh on that. He thought that New York was getting too much. And,
yeah.
Of course, he's going to be your next president, Kay. So
really?
I
you think so, huh?
I have no idea, I tell you. It's frightening.
Yeah, it is frightening. But let me tell you something about, you know, Congressman Donald Payne from his office. You know, he's celebrating, as we all are, the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act. And from
yeah.
his office, you know, Donald sends out these. This is Donald Payne Jr., by the way, Congressman Donald Payne
mm-hmm.
Jr. His father passed, some time ago, and he was one of the most popular congressional people in Congress. As a matter of fact, he was the first African-American member of the U.S. Congress. So, and
is that right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact. And he, Donald,
you mean from
you
New
know,
Jersey
Donald
or?
New Jersey. Yeah, we're all
okay,
Jersey people.
Yeah.
We're not like you New York people. He says, I am a proud co-sponsor of the updated Voting Rights Amendment Act that will address the discrimination at the ballot box that still exists in towns and cities across the country. He said, I am urging members of both sides of the aisle, meaning Congress, to continue the bipartisan tradition of supporting civil rights and pass the Voting Rights Amendment Act. This action would carry on the legacy and the spirit of the Civil Rights Act and would continue to help America better live up to their creed that all people are created equal. A lot of people still don't believe that. You know, these Republicans,
well,
boy, I'm telling you, I don't know where they're coming from, but I know I would like them to go back, you know, because they are just, you know, really, they're just holding things up. You know, they just can't stand the fact that there's a black president. Let's face it, you know?
Right, right. I was just reading on the internet, as you mentioned that, Kay, that a third of the American voting populace believe Obama was a bad president. I can't believe it. I mean, they've had...
That's unreal.
I mean, they're conducting polls saying, you know, I can't imagine what... I mean, given what we went through 8 years with Bush, the war, so many lives we lost, the turndown in the economy, and then, you know, a third of the American voting populace believes Obama has not helped.
I'd like to know how they got those figures, and I'd like to know what communities he went into. They went in to get that little tidbit of information.
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. You know, so that's I can't believe that. You know, so
I can't believe it either.
Amazing.
You know,
yeah, because he's done so much. How the heck can I possibly say that the man
hasn't
done anything? You know.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Can't please everybody.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
You know, we have a guest today, and her name is Capri St. Joe, and she is an educator and a business developer, and we're going to be talking about Haiti and the things involved with education, and she and her husband are involved with developing opportunities, you know, with people, you know, coming to Haiti and getting this country back on track. And she is from New York, maybe from Brooklyn, I don't know, I'm not sure. So if she is on the air, if she has called in, we can get her on the air now. And mind you, everyone, we are not in the studio, mainly because of this weather. You know, the thunder, you're going to hear a crack of thunder, and I'm going to jump out of this seat, I'm telling you. So
not yet.
I'm nervous because I'm right by a window, you know, I need some air. And the air conditioning on it was too cold, so, but anyway. So as soon as we have her on, we're going to be talking to Capri St. Joe. She also lives in Brooklyn, by the way. Did you know that?
No.
Kay?
There we are. Hi, Capri. How are you?
I'm fine.
Can you hear me?
I'm fine. We're here.
Good, good, good. I was just talking about you. I was telling people that you were involved with, you and your husband, you're involved with rebuilding Haiti. You know, you're building, developing opportunities of people coming to Haiti. You are also a very creative educator, you know, and you guys have a partnership. You're partnership developers. Suppose you tell us about that. And tell us who you are first.
It's something that we started in 2010 upon my husband and I, for him returning to Haiti. He's from Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of after the earthquake, and it just came sort of to us that one of the ways that perhaps we could, in our small way, best support the efforts, the economic efforts in Haiti, was to start this cultural and historical tourism group that we put together each year. And in fact, we now twice a year, and it's called Rebuilding Haiti One Trip at a Time. And right now it's word of mouth that we've managed to get anywhere between 7 to 10 people coming with us each time. This time we're looking to get up to maybe 15 people.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we spend most of our time on the north side of the island, which is the birthplace of the revolution and Haitian revolution. And that is Pop. And we take people to... you know, for me, as being someone that this was in 2010 was my first time going to Haiti, and I tell you that when I went there and then went, subsequently we visited Okap, I was completely taken by the historical sites that exist there that I was never, ever, ever made aware of, and it is it's just something unbelievable to see and to experience. And by staying at a small family-owned beach resort, because we stay on the beach, we found that it was a way to support local business. And to speak to several people, we saw that this is, you know, an integral part of their livelihood.
Wayne, are you on?
Yep, still here.
Would you like to get in on this conversation with Capri?
Oh, certainly. I mean, it sounded interesting what she was saying. I mean, it's so important that something must be done to revive, you know, what the New York Times so proudly says, the poorest country in the face of the universe, I mean the Western Hemisphere. I don't know. I mean, I used to get irritated when I read that all the time because Haiti has such a rich, dynamic history.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just think that it's so unfortunate what has happened. Of course, an earthquake you can't prevent. But it just seems like these people have such resilience in terms of bouncing back from all sorts of adversity, and it's just very encouraging to see that someone like her is doing something to perhaps,
mm-hmm.
you know, put Haiti back on the map in terms of being another world player.
Well, Capri was telling me that, to remind me that, you know, Haiti it was the first black republic in the Western Hemisphere. Is that correct, Capri?
Yes, it is. Yes,
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the sites we visit, which is the Citadel, which is the largest fortress in the Western Hemisphere, and that's so key to say, and I have to say it again, the largest fortress in the Western Hemisphere
wow.
that's
mm-hmm.
built top of a mountain, and it was built by the free Haitian people. It was
mm-hmm.
not built, as many of us have gone to some of the other islands, and we've seen forts that were perhaps built by enslaved people for the Spanish, for the French, or perhaps built by the Spanish or the French. This was a fort that's built on top of a mountain. I think it's about 7 miles up.
Oh, my God,
that is
yeah.
thing to see mm. and to be able to get up there. And,
is that the tallest building, you know, in Haiti?
Well, I guess because of where it is, it would have to be because you
yeah.
can see it clearly when you're flying. When we fly from Port-au-Prince to Okap, you see it sitting on top of the mountain, and it's an amazing
mm-hmm.
thing to see. So as a result, it would be probably the highest sort of building because it's on the highest peak, and it's literally on top of a mountain.
And
mm-hmm.
it shows
mm-hmm.
the location so that they can better defend themselves against other invaders. So it's on top of the tallest mountain peak in the region. And
who is this talking? Who is this talking?
I'm Willaire.
Hi, Willaire. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay. Go right ahead.
No,
Hello?
I was simply saying, based on the location, it is by far the tallest, I would say, structure in Haiti because it's on top of a mountain peak facing
uh-huh.
the Atlantic Ocean to protect and defend against other invaders once they defeated the forces that were in place.
I see. Mm-hmm. And how
is interesting when you go there, and when it said that it's there to protect, it is literally was there to protect because there are cannons situated all around on this
wow.
In this fort. And what's really intriguing to see, and we have the
oh,
benefit yes. of our tour guide is the is the historian Minister of Culture for the north side of the island, Monsieur Ayuban,
yeah.
who just taught us and just, you know, is able to enrich us with all the historical points. And that one of the things we found out, when you see all the cannons, and that for the French, they realized that they were sort of ousted from Haiti, that they removed or tried to attempted to remove all the insignia off of the cannons that the Haitians had been used in their fortress, but they didn't want it to be known that it was there. They lost or their weaponry.
So
they
Haiti
tried
really
to remove all of their sort of insignia, anything in terms of the seal and all of that to indicate that it was French.
Okay.
However, there certain cannons are given to them by the nation.
All right. So Haiti really has a very, very rich history. Is that it?
Yes, it does. And it
yeah.
plays, mm-hmm. and I on and on because it plays, when you look at it in terms of why in Venezuela, why Hugo Chavez supported, and in fact there's a port in Haiti as well as the airport is known as Hugo Chavez Airport,
mm-hmm.
because of the history between Haiti and Venezuela, Simón Bolívar, who was their liberator. And
now you mentioned Venezuela. Listen, you mentioned
mm-hmm.
Venezuela. Are you close to Venezuela?
No, we are not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No,
but
go
what
ahead.
Happened is because of the revolution in Haiti, Haiti then started to literally not only influence, but strategically help other nations to secure their own freedom. So, for example, if I always give credit to the freedom fighters in Haiti to help him basically secure freedom for Venezuela and other nations in Latin America.
Yeah, I see. That's Wayne, do you want to get in on this?
Yeah, I was just going to say, my roots are from Trinidad, and there are a lot of Haitians that migrated to Trinidad, you know, centuries ago. And there's a part of the island in which they speak broken French there, and I think, you know, a lot of the descendants are people who migrated from Haiti during the revolutionary period. Mm-hmm. And Trinidad is right next to Venezuela, so a lot of what you're saying is understandable how there's a connection that way. But, you know, as you mentioned Hugo Chavez, I was very curious, and I'm sorry that I haven't really kept up with this, but I was curious
before before you continue, let me say to Capri Anguilla, Wayne Gilman is our co-host, and along with Eric Payne, Eric is going to be joining us. But Wayne, what was I going to say? Let me just tell you about Wayne Gilman. He's a former news director from WLIV-BLS, and we've known each other for a long time. You know Wayne?
Yeah.
I used to listen regularly.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Okay. Yeah, your
especially
voice sounds awfully familiar, too. You know, Oh, my gosh.
That's going back. From beginning to end.
Wow. Yeah, so
you know
how
old
I am now. You know, but past life.
One of the best news directors ever.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
You know, I really was curious about the relationship between the Dominican Republic and Haiti these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there just seemed to be a problem. For years, I know at one time the former Dominican president, I can't think of his name, but back in the 60s, Dominican. Yeah, he wanted to distinguish Haitians from the Dominicans, and he actually encouraged light-skinned Dominicans to, have relations with dark-skinned almost to start a new race, you know, between, Haitians, so there would be that separation. And I really, you know, I guess what really bothered me, and at one time I was very much involved with a young lady from the Dominican Republic, much to my, you know, grit. I had to send her back home.
Watch it, Wayne.
Asking me if I care. You know, but the thing is that really bothered me is that the racism was so intense on the Spanish side, and I had wondered, you know, if these two countries, there's so much in common politically in their history that if they were to, bring their forces together, a lot of the unnecessary hostility would probably do great wonders for developing the Hispaniola, you know?
Would you like to comment to that? Capri?
The issues currently related to Haiti and Dominican Republic goes way back to the island being divided in two and the forces of colonialism and oppression. The issue of people forgetting that we're one island. And it's just a question of who we were colonized by. That's what basically influenced what became Haiti and what became the Dominican Republic. In fact, Wayne, one of the things that I'm trying to deal with right now is I have many friends and collaborators in Brooklyn, in New York, in other places that are Dominicans that cannot understand why this conflict is going on and why the current leaders in Dominican Republic are behaving the way they are. Other person we wanted to bring on the call with us today, Dr. Soribel Genaro, who's a professor at Queens College. She's of Dominican Haitian ancestry. She's doing a similar effort in Dominican Republic. In fact, she was with us in Haiti and literally will collaborate with us and collaborate with the historian in Kapaiti to really go back and help people to understand the history of Haiti, but the history of the entire island. And so that, because, for example, there's a madam of Moses Perez. He's very much a advocate in New York, Dominican. And we were, for instance, we were booking college together back in the days, who cannot understand why people that are educated and aware and people that are no longer oppressed cannot understand that there should not be a conflict between the Dominican Republic and Haiti.
So I've always been fascinated by Haiti and the Haitian people because a friend of mine, Dr. I think his name was Delisfort, brought a, remember that march across the Brooklyn Bridge that, shut down everything? Remember that? Because it was a scare that Haiti had, the beginnings of what was that disease that everybody was so afraid of that they were blaming on
AIDS.
Haiti?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Cholera?
Yep. No, it wasn't that. It was something else. I think it was AIDS. And then, of course, it was proven that it wasn't, but still the Haitian people came out in droves, and Brooklyn Bridge was shut down.
Right.
And I was so tickled to see that because, every time this friend of mine talked to me, I would have him on the air, and so we were really, a little bit of instrumental in, the crowds growing. And I said, wow, the people are really powerful, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
When you went back to the mission, the president of those colleagues who were very, aggressive about trying to even eliminate Haiti from basically being part of the island, I think that part was too real back in the 1940s.
Yeah, exactly. It just came, his name just came to me as you mentioned it. That's true.
Who was
in 1965.
Yep.
Who was
he?
Who was the president at that time?
Yeah, Trujillo of the Dominican Republic.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And one time, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes,
no,
go ahead.
Trio and his brother, there were like two brothers who actually led the island, the Dominican Republic. That was in the 60s. And then again, Balaguer from 66 to 78 really did a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
It did a lot of damage for the relationship.
Wow. Okay.
One of the things early on in the history of the Dominican Republic, their national anthem was basically in French because it was basically Haitian, quote-unquote, governed for a while.
Mm-hmm.
On their pension, going back basically 1800s and even end of the century. So there's some history of the anger, the frustration, and also the oppression.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
you know what oppression
can
color?
I was just going to say that I really think that I know that the Dominican Republic has its own problems too, but the deal is that for some reason it seems like the economy is far more favorable on that side of the island than it is, in terms of Haiti. And I'm just wondering, if they could just pool their resources together, just the whole region, if the whole region would just come together, form some sort of united front, I think it would just be beneficial. I mean, Haiti cannot stand by itself, and none of those islands can no longer stand by itself in the face of what's going on in the world, in my opinion, today.
What do you think about that, Willier?
I do agree with you. And I think, in fact, they have efforts. When I was at United Way back in 1990 to 95, when Dinkins was mayor, there was an effort then to help Haiti and some of the islands to actually form a union. However, the island's situation where what we call the French-speaking islands, the islands that were basically colonized by the French. So Dominica, Guadeloupe, Martinique, these were the islands that are being considered as being kind of a union with Haiti. And Haiti also has a better history with Cuba. And in fact, there was a point, in fact, to today, a lot of the medicine in Haiti is supported by Cuban doctors. In fact, Haiti has great medical superstructure now, in great attitude to the Cuban infrastructure.
Yeah.
And
listen,
right,
I did hear
that.
I hate to interrupt all of you. I hate to interrupt all of you, but we're coming, I think, up on a commercial break. And Capri, why don't you give out a number where people can get in touch with you just in case they would like to go on an educational trip. Some of the teachers who are listening in may be interested in that. And I know people probably are interested anyway, so I am too. So give out a number where people can get in touch with you, if you will.
Well, what we have is a Facebook page, which is Rebuilding Haiti.
Yes.
The trip, as well as being able to contact either one of us, and I'll give our email addresses. But if they went on Facebook, it's under Rebuilding Haiti.
It's under Rebuilding Haiti. Okay,
and
everyone listening to this.
Valere and Capria there.
All right. I'm sorry. Say that last thing. We didn't hear.
Rebuilding Haiti, and in parentheses is our names, Valere, W-I-L-L-A-I-R, and Capri.
Okay, C-A-P-R-I.
Mm-hmm.
Saintville.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would just be under Valere and Capri, Rebuilding Haiti.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. We will get back to you at another time when we're all in the studio. You know, I'm looking at this accident that happened outside of my window with a big fire truck, and I think it's from maybe a lightning striking or something out here. But, I mean, it's a mess here, you know. I mean, it's not really a mess, but it is a mess. I'm looking at it. I'm wondering who's hurt and that kind of thing, and the lights are going off, you know, the police lights and the truck lights and whoever else, you know. But, listen, Valere and Capri, thank you very much, and we will do this again. We want to hear more. Okay?
Yes, we have to see more about the trip. Yes, we're looking forward to it.
And with your incredible history as a teacher, don't think I forgot that.
December 17th.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. That's what?
We are traveling to Haiti on December 17th.
Okay.
It's Christmas, and the winter, people have a chance to get away in the same sun, culture, and history.
Okay. Sounds heavenly.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Take care.
Wayne?
Okay.
So, Wayne, are you going to be taking a trip to Haiti anytime soon?
I'd like to, you know, I always wanted to go. I mean, the thing is that at the time, you know, when I was frequenting that region was unfortunate. I shouldn't say unfortunate. I mean, I was pleased to be exposed to the Dominican culture, you know. But it's just that bias that just used to irritate me. I couldn't understand, you know,
racial,
why that they were
thing.
So.
Yeah,
but, I mean, the thing is, it seems like as if, you know, there are more forces forging, you know, both countries together. And I'm glad that, you know, some of the other Latino countries are basically involved in spiriting that drive because, you know, if they were a together island, you know, in terms of culture and the economy, they could do great wonders. I mean, they're both.
All right, we're coming up to 8:30, and I think probably we should have broken for a break probably at 8:15, and I talked beyond it. But I can say that, you know, I've been to Venezuela. And, you know, when we were, you know, we were paper manufacturers at one time, you know, I don't know if you knew that. But anyway, we had to go to Venezuela to meet with a paper manufacturer, and we went to a little island called Macut. And,
Macut.
And surrounded by water, well, on three sides, I guess, scared the heck out of me one day because the fact that I had gone into one of the little gift shops and I found these little heads, you know, that were dangling, you know, with the long hair. And I said, oh, aren't these cute? They came from Japan. And one of the people said, no. And I said, where did they come from? And he looked at me very strangely. And I said, oh, God. And then, you know, it was a word there. I said, it started with S, ended with T. I said, oh, you know. And I went back to the hotel, didn't come out until we were coming back home.
Well, please, don't let the Venezuelans turn you off. Although things are pretty violent there now, I think you should have gone to Margarita Island, not Macut.
Listen, you know, I'm an island person, boy. I'm telling you, you know, I have people listening to us right now in Antigua, you know, in St. John, in Jamaica, in, Bermuda. Bermuda doesn't consider themselves a part of the Caribbean. But you know we have people all over. From the Caribbean, you know, the people
who
used to listen, and the amount of people who used to listen to us from Jamaica and every place else. Are you kidding? Come on here. You know?
It is fascinating.
Yeah. And it's great to be talking to people, you know, so involved with other islands, you know. But we're going to be taking a break right now. I think we're going to be taking a break. And I'm saying I think that because, Wayne, as you know, we are in different places now because of this terrible storm that's going on. This accident is still out there on the parkway, you know, here. But No,
we're Route 3 or something like that, or
close to Route 3. I don't want to say exactly where I am, you know. So.
No, I'm sorry. Because since
I talk about the cops, they may come after me. I'm sitting here looking out the window.
I've been to your house once, and I know there's nothing but water around it. You need to take a ferry boat to get there at times. So.
Get out of town.
Don't worry. It's surrounded by water, Kay.
I can only say that you can swim across the pond to get to Manhattan. When I was working at WLIB, I'll tell you this, it took me 6 minutes to get to Lincoln Tunnel. And about another 5 minutes at early in the morning, another five minutes to get over there to, Park Ave, you know, in 34th Street.
At the time,
Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, then,
right.
Now it's gridlock all the time. You know, the time. So it's
those
not
were great
the way
days.
It used to
they
be.
Were,
yeah.
Those
listen,
were really great
let
days.
Let me see if the people in the studio, because we do have a whole new group of people there with Ty Washington and the crew there at GoPro Radio, everyone, in case you want to, you know, listen to the show at another time, because all the shows, everyone, they are archived. In other words, you can see them at any time. And also, I'm also expecting Eric to call in because he said he would be calling in toward the end of the show, you know, because he had a couple of things that, you know, he had to get to and have to finish. And this is my son, Eric Payne, who is also an actor and also appeared in School Days. I meant to ask Capri about that, you know, because she lived there in Brooklyn.
Oh, that's
and
right.
She
yeah,
did.
Right.
Capri,
yeah.
Are you still on? Is Capri still on? Because I think she might have gone to school with Spike Lee. And so, you know, I know that was a celebration of, what, 20 years or something with since School Days was, you know,
yeah,
produced.
Yeah, I think it might
and,
even be,
yeah.
It might be longer than that, Kay.
Longer than that, yeah. And Eric can talk about that because he was, you know, on, you know, he did School Days. So, you
right,
know, and he
right.
is an actor, so, but anyway. So, I'm not getting any signals from the studio, so I guess no commercials are going to be interrupting us. So, what's going on
that's
there?
That's not a good sign.
that's
not,
not
a good sign in radio, but
listen,
anyway, we appreciate
something.
The extra time.
yeah, of course. But you know one thing, there's so many new things coming up that we cannot mention right now. So I think people are going to be, you know, very much surprised. And when we have finally make an announcement, I'm looking forward to it, and it better happen.
Well, you sound like you like to tease, Kay.
What?
You know, you like to tease a great deal. I'm afraid of
you.
Don't
even try it. Don't even try it.
You know?
Talking about my WLIB days. I didn't leave that stuff.
Yeah, I know. No, I don't want to go there, but... You know. I didn't want to go there, but I know that...
Listen, Gary Bird... Gary Bird
felt
my wrath one time.
Yeah, I remember that story well. Remember that story very well. Poor Gary.
God, I don't think you guys took me seriously.
No, I took you seriously, you know. Well, I mean, there's so many stories I could share because I know there's one person whose name we won't call, but you're responsible for him falling into the Hudson River one night.
Are you serious?
You know, I'm dead serious, Kate.
Did he
you
die?
Know, I tell you, it was the fun. No, he didn't drown. I mean, you know, but the deal is that
he fell
it was
the
so
Hudson
funny.
River? What did I have to do with that?
Well, it's a, I don't know. I mean, is your daughter nearby? Your son? Is he? I don't want
no,
to even.
So
you know,
can
I feel
talk
funny
safely.
Even discussing this, Kay.
Go
this
ahead,
is ancient
ahead.
History.
Listen, people live on this kind of stuff. Go ahead. Maybe I'll get a reality show. Go ahead, Wayne. You know a lot. You and I both know the things we could talk about that happened during the days of WLIB. Listen, if we wrote a book, we'd have to leave town yesterday.
Yeah, that's
okay?
right. You're absolutely right.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I'm going to write a book, everybody. Then I will have to leave the country, you know.
Yeah, poor guy one night, he was so enamored of you and had a little bit too much to drink, you know, entertaining
and he fell
young
in
people like me at the time, you know. And I'm not going to even call any more names. You know, I'm just.
Should I guess?
Huh? Oh, no,
should
no, okay, please, please.
Was
please.
He chubby?
I don't want to be old. Huh?
Was he chubby?
Yeah, sort of, kind of. Let's put it this way. It's a good thing that he could swim, because he wasn't wearing a life preserver at the time. We were all a little concerned. No, but it was the funniest thing to see him walk off the plank.
Oh, God.
I mean, I got to laugh about it now, but.
Listen,
okay.
You know what,
why did you bring this up? Kay, why
listen,
did you bring this up?
Wait, hold on. Somebody else is calling. Is saying
okay.
Something. Yes. Who is talking? See, we can't tell because I can't even look up at the board to see if, you know, where the call
yeah.
is coming from. But if there's somebody else on the line, just speak up. I don't know if Eric's calling him right now. But you know what, Wayne, one of these days I am going to write a book. And I know that with all the stories that you have covered, because you're being the director of the news department, I mean, listen, let's face it, you were absolutely fantastic.
Thank you, fantastic.
You kept those
that.
Stories running, yeah. And you were really kept that department running. I thought in an excellent way. I don't know how you did it, because dealing with a whole lot of people with egos, of course,
please.
I didn't have one. But listen, I was the angel. But anyway, you know, it's difficult because you are covering, you know, really hot button stories. You know, and I'm thinking of Anna Phillips.
Yeah.
You know, remember when in the Central Park, rape case,
Central
right?
Central Park case.
Right.
You,
you remember Anna Phillips, my buddy? She's going to be coming on the show to, you know, talk about all the inside information that, you know, a lot of it has never been disclosed before. So as soon as, you know, she is okay, you know, she's going to be coming on with me again, with us again. And her stories are
absolutely wonderful,
you know, because she really went through a whole lot of things there when she was first starting out because she was one of the first black female reporters, you know, at a couple of these stations. You know, the last thing she did was she was the senior producer for ABC when they were covering the Haitian, you know, earthquake.
Was it an earthquake at that time? Yeah, it was an earthquake.
Yeah. So, you know, Anna Phillips covered that. And she has a lot, you know, so much. I keep saying to her, you should write a book. Because she was going to India. She covered the, you know, the sex traffic in India. And that took a couple of years, you know, to cover that story. So she was always on the go. But the fascinating stories that she would tell me, she is
probably.
Yeah, and I've got to get her on to talk about a lot of these stories because she is a walking history book. Like people tell us, you know, people don't realize the stories that we do on radio. Radio probably has been so fascinating to me because I didn't start out as being a broadcaster. You know, I was a teacher, you know, in New Jersey, in Newark, New Jersey. And, you know, making sure that, you know, African-American kids were treated fairly. And sometimes they weren't. And the movement was going on. And, of course, I was involved with Amiri Baraka. And, you know, he was on our show, you know, about a month or two before he passed. And we still feel very, very badly about that because the fact that
it's amazing.
What a voice, what a powerful person. And now his son, Ras, is now the mayor of Newark, which is absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And who keeps those guys in line, or who kept those guys in line, is Amina Baraka, you know, Mary's wife, and Ras's mother. She's fantastic. So, you know, we all go back to those days, and we have a whole big history to tell because the fact that the movement was going on, and we were very involved in the movement, you know.
Yeah, I was enjoying the show last week with you and Len Jeffries reminiscing about what happened.
I can't wait to have him
on again. It was so good to hear his voice. And, you know, there was so much history that he covered and what you did and what Gus and everyone else during that period. I mean, a lot of that stuff should not be forgotten. I mean,
that's
really led to the development of what Newark is today.
Yeah,
you know,
especially the shows with Dr. Ben.
Oh,
you know, you know how many interviews I've done with Dr. Ben, and I have them on tape, on, you know, when we transfer them to DVD. You know, I have two shows with Dr. Ben, Dr. Joseph Van Yekkenen, Dr. Ivan Van Sertimer, Dr. John Henry Clark, and Dr. Len Gunther. Len was the youngest, the youngest of the persons. He was Dr. Ben's nephew, as a matter of fact. And I understand, you know, when I was asking Len about Dr. Ben, he said, yes, Dr. Ben is still with us. And I'm not going to say where he is, but I'm not going to say where he is. But it's in New York. And he has been, he meaning Dr. Len Jeffries, he has been to see Dr. Ben. And he mentioned my name to Dr. Ben, and he said, and Dr. Ben smiled. So I asked him, I said, because I had been trying to find out about Dr. Ben for a long time, and finally was able to get to Len, and he came on the show, and he said the next time he goes to see him, that, you know, I can go also, which I'm looking forward to, and I hope it's soon, because I don't want anything to happen to him without my say something to him. Because he was very, very, very special, as you know, because he used to come into the studio. He used to come into the studio, and he enjoyed, you know, because how does one person, he was a lawyer. Not only was he an Egyptologist and a historian, I mean, books. He was also a lawyer, you know. He was a doctor. Yeah. He was studied all the time. He was born in Puerto Rico, I think. You tell me Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I don't know how many different languages he spoke, but Dr. Ben was probably one of the most fascinating people that I have ever interviewed. Yes.
Well, I remember.
Eric?
Okay,
get in on this conversation. You know, I was talking about Dr. Ben, and we were talking about Len Jeffries, last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you there?
How's it going, Eric?
Yes, I'm here. I'm doing well. I'm sorry. I'm just calling in. So, continue your point, though. I don't want to jump right in on your point. Continue your point.
Yeah, I was talking about you know, Dr. Ben and the shows that I did, and we were talking about Len Jeffries going up to see him, and the next time he goes, you know, we're going to go. You and I are going to go and see Dr. Ben, and I just hope it's going to be soon, so then we can report on it and tell people
I wonder how much video recordings there are of Dr. Ben. I know that Gil Noble did some, but you know, it's just so very valuable to have our historians like that on video and things like that. I mean, if we can get great people, great black minds like that.
Yeah.
No, Wayne, I mean, it's really something that we need to preserve and archive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, we're losing so many so quickly now because, you know, time is marching on. It's amazing. You know, even when I look back at our own careers at inner city years ago, that so much time has elapsed. I mean, it's a completely different landscape, the broadcast media now. And I was just reading in the trades last week that you know, there's going to be another station in the marketplace looking to do, or at least try to build on what it is that we started years ago. So, you know, it's a whole other generation of people out there looking to keep the flame burning, hopefully in the right way, you know?
Yeah, hope so. But in what respect? How?
Another
radio station or what?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, from what I understood, the station. I'm not out here. They're not paying me. I'm not promoting them, but it's WFAS up in Westchester, licensed to White Plains.
Mm-hmm,
in fact,
mm-hmm.
Kay, if you remember where Betty Shabazz and Malcolm X are buried, White Plains.
Mm-hmm,
all right,
mm-hmm.
It's diagonally across from where their crypt is. Is where the tower and the station is currently located today. What they're going to do, or what I understand has happened, they've already moved the tower to the Bronx, and I don't know what the new call letters will be, but they're going directly after BLS and WLIB. It's an AM and FM operation.
Wow, no kidding.
And,
okay.
Yeah, I think they start, if I'm not mistaken, July 4th weekend.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Black-owned and operated?
Black-owned
and operated?
No. It's Cumulus Broadcast. You know what it is that some seasoned radio professionals realize that there's a void. Like, we know there's a void in black talk and black music. You know what I mean? You have the hip-hop crowd. You know, they go to Power and there's a Hot 97, you know, that for young
right.
people who are into, you know, that the level of entertainment. And then you have more of a mature crowd, you know, that would listen to WBLS because
mm-hmm.
of what it is that we, you know, you and I, Kay, started years ago, the intellectual property. They've managed to promote that. It doesn't sound the same, but they're basically promoting themselves predicated on what it is that we've done all those years to form it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they blew out Kiss FM, the owners of that signal decided to make money leasing 98.7 to ESPN, because it's a sports station now.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is that while they licensed and rented, or leased, I should say, ESPN to that frequency, they in the meantime cut a deal with the previous owners of WLIB, WBLS, Inner City Broadcasting, and that other group that was involved, and they now own those two properties.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, in other words, they basically saw
opportunities. Wayne, you're giving out a lot of information here. Yeah.
Well, it's true. I'm not making this up, but this is basically what's going on. So another company with some money saw an opportunity to cut that audience in half, and that's what they're about to do, you know. And it's to my understanding that they're looking for content, you know,
We're getting. I was just getting a static here. I don't know whether it's because of the weather or what. The red lights outside of the window have disappeared, by the way, but there's still like lightning going on in the sky
from here.
Has the
water receded, Kay? Has the water receded? Should I send for Noah's Ark or what?
I hope so. Yeah, because it was raining a lot here, you know. People slushing through the water and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
Eric, did you have trouble on the highway? Eric,
no,
are you still there?
I'm here. No, I didn't have trouble on the highway. I wanted to talk back to Wayne about the radio station. You said these gentlemen, that these folks, we're going to be winding down here. I see we have about 10 minutes to go. But you said they're buying another station to take over the black market, basically. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're trying to cut it in half. That's you know, because there's no longer a Kiss FM. But they're an AM and FM operation. But from what I found interesting is that they're really coming to, I don't know who is advising them. You know, there may be some former employees that your mom and I worked with, but the bottom line is they're really looking for content, community content, because anyone who, and this is not to slam the current owners of BLS and LIB, but, you know, the focus isn't on what it is that we used to do. It's primarily entertainment-driven, and gospel music on the AM. You know.
There, it seems like there would be a perfect synergy of a station. It's kind of similar to you know, that has those contents as well as talk. You know,
yeah, it should.
I don't know which one of those. It always seemed to me the black radio seemed to be kind of. Either it was going to be all music or
well,
talk, you know,
even
on the AM side, on the BLS side, sometime in BLS, obviously, because of the owners and the awareness of the people that were running the station, and yourself included, and the folks like that, seemed to be an emphasis on more music, but you'd have a little talk and informational stuff, but it seemed like it was more, you know, music-driven.
And the thing is, you know, we're not a monolith. We're just as sophisticated as the other, you know, side of the audience in terms of what we want to see and read. And very often we're far more informed than even some of the people who would listen to the talk stations on the
AM band.
That's
right.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know why that, you know, we have, you know, it's not to minimize talk internet radio because, to me, that has filled the gap. And, of course, we have a wider reach with Internet than we do with terrestrial radio.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that you know, we're missing our voices in this market on a regular basis. I mean, our show, what we're doing once a week, is only airing once a week. Your mother was on 5-6 times a week sometimes back in the day.
Yeah.
You know,
the difference nowadays with technology we have, you have something called on-demand. Those two words, on-demand, we have an on-demand society now where people can listen to, which is a good thing in terms of what we're trying to do with Kay Thompson Live with the GoPro Radio Network, is where people can go back and listen to previous episodes if they like or information that they wanted to hear again. And the same thing with visual media, TV, movies, you know.
Yeah.
That's what Netflix, and that's what now all of these big corporations, broadcast corporations, are getting in on the Internet on-demand market. And that's the thing that a lot of those, as you said, the traditional terrestrial radio, even though you might be on every single day, nothing like being at somebody's fingertips where they can put you on anytime they want.
Yeah,
so exactly.
That's a huge advantage that when you're doing things on the Internet that you have with that. And also, it's available to everybody all over the world, you know.
Yes.
That's the difference,
That's powerful.
Radio signal, and, you know, that's it. But you can be known, somebody could stumble upon your show or some similar type of search comes up and your name comes up or a subject we think comes up, and then they go to the show. I mean, you know, I've discovered people that were musicians and artists from all over the world by being on YouTube sometimes.
You know, I tell you, it's a powerful medium, and I really think it's important. And you know, I would say in less than 10 years, the landscape is going to change. I think once these cars become outfitted with Internet capability, I mean, it's already there. I don't know what's really slowing it down. It's done already. Yeah, you know, so because I remember one morning I was going to the courthouse up in White Plains, and the lawyer told me that he listens to Internet radio, and he was representing a DJ that worked at an Internet radio station out in Long Island. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe, you know, what he was telling me. I'm just saying, you know, if he's got an audience and what he's doing is similar to what we're doing, you know, there's no telling who we are reaching right this minute.
Yeah.
You know? So it's fascinating.
And where? And where? All over the world.
Exactly, right.
Okay.
Okay, I hear.
I think we're getting. I don't know
strange.
If that. I don't know if that was a cue or not. You know, but you know, because new stuff is going on. You know, so.
You are about to hear coming from your radio is not mistaken.
Please do not turn off your radio, but turn up the volume on your receiver as high as it can go so that you can make the sound we broadcast as loud as possible.